Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
Well, the Gordon Hayward era officially over with your Celtics. And really, what a hell of an era that was. He really played, what, a year and a half out of the 3 years he was under contract. And I understand that he had a gruesome leg injury, and I'm sympathetic to that. But he did not deliver whatsoever based on the money that he was getting paid. And this is how it ends up. This is how it all ends for the Celtics and Gordon Hayward. You thought maybe there was a chance, just maybe there was a chance that at the end of his tenure with the Celtics, Gordon Hayward would actually do you a favor and indirectly do you a favor, right? That's what you were hoping for. Maybe with how bad this Gordon Hayward era went for the Celtics. I remember it feels like, I don't want to say yesterday, but it was 3.5 years ago. He's writing that Players Tribune article and you're thinking, holy crap, they got Gordon Hayward. This is a big time free agent coming off an outstanding season with the Utah Jazz. Let's go. What a signing by Danny Ainge. And of course, he never delivered whatsoever. And a lot of that had to do with the injury. But I remember being so excited when they signed Gordon Hayward. And here we are today. Gordon Hayward is signing with the Charlotte Hornets. He chose to sign with the Charlotte Hornets, who now have a big three of our old friend Terry Rozier. I guess you can put Devontae Graham in there instead of Terry. Terry did not have a good season there. LaMelo Ball and Gordon Hayward. So Gordon Hayward and LaVar Ball will be house searching at the same time. That's where Gordon Hayward chose to play. The Charlotte Hornets, okay? Now, it's not even that you lost Gordon Hayward, because I'll get into this in greater detail. It's not that loss. It's not that big of a loss. In fact, it's addition by subtraction. You don't need Gordon Hayward on this team. You really don't. He's not that good of a player. He really isn't. And for anybody that's going to give me the numbers in terms of, oh, well, he's so efficient, Brian, 50% from the floor, 40% from three. Yeah, you know why? Because he was getting the fourth or the fifth best defender of the other team covering him. Watch what happens this year when he plays for the Charlotte Hornets and they win somewhere between 25 and 30 games and the best wing defender every night is covering Gordon Hayward. Like, for example, when he plays the Celtics and they throw Jaylen Brown on him. You know what's going to happen to Gordon Hayward? He's going to do essentially nothing in the game. So don't give me his numbers from last year. And not to mention the fact that the guy only attempted like 2.8 free throws per game. What that tells you is it's pretty damn simple. He can't get to the line. He can't beat defenders off the dribble anymore. He is a role player at this point in time. And that instantly becomes the John Wall contract is atrocious with the Washington Wizards due to the injuries. Russell Westbrook has an awful contract. But Gordon Hayward, he's in the top five worst contracts in the NBA anyway right now. So, but anyway, getting back to the original point, you felt like, okay, maybe Gordon Hayward can give you a gift when he leaves here. And that gift was supposed to be Miles Turner. Miles Turner was supposed to be the gift that Gordon Hayward was going to give the Celtics leaving. And just if you compare those two players, what Miles Turner brings to the table, and you juxtapose that to what Gordon Hayward does for this Celtics team, Miles Turner would have been so much more important and such a better addition to this team than having Gordon Hayward remain here with the Celtics, right? So there's that element to it. The pieces fit better with a big man, a traditional big like Miles Turner, and obviously not a traditional 90s big man that plays with his back to the basket, but those guys, they don't live in the NBA anymore. Those guys are dinosaurs. But what Miles Turner could have provided to this team is exactly what they needed. Oh, let me ask you a question. What were the Celtics missing in the postseason a year ago? Oh, somebody that could match up with Bam Adebayo. Oh, yeah, he averaged 22 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists. He was the best player on the floor. And if you disagree with me, then you're disagreeing with Danny Ainge, because Danny Ainge is the one that said that. He was the best player in the series against the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now who are you left with? Who is covering Bam in the playoffs? Who is covering Joel Embiid in the playoffs? You have nobody that matches up with these guys. Joel Embiid, and I get it, you waxed the Sixers in 4 games. I also would remind you that they didn't have their second best player in Ben Simmons. But Joel Embiid still averaged 30 points per game, and he was out of shape. Now he has a legitimate head coach with Doc Rivers. He doesn't have Brett Brown anymore, where that guy doesn't know how to coach whatsoever. It's incredible that that guy kept his job for as long as he did. Horrible head coach, could not run his nose, right? But when you look at it now, he has a legitimate head coach. He's got a legitimate GM. Ben Simmons is coming back. And oh, by the way, they keep surrounding him with shooting now. They went out and they got Seth Curry, Steph Curry's brother. That team is improving right now. So your biggest weakness, which was defending big men in the postseason and defending the paint in general, you had an opportunity to go out there and get a guy. You didn't do it if you were Danny Ainge. And this is the thing that pisses me off about this whole situation. And this is not me looking back at what happened over the past 2 to 3 hours after Gordon Hayward signed and saying, well, Danny Ainge overplayed his hand. No, I was on last night and I told you that Danny Ainge was overplaying his hand at the time. When Gary Washburn tweeted out from the Globe, who's a great reporter. Remember, he had the original story of when the Celtics were having their issues in the locker room after game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. He was in the Orlando bubble when the Celtics and Marcus Smart was throwing things around in the locker room after the game. Remember that whole situation? And then you needed Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba, and Marcus Smart and Brad Stevens to talk into the wee hours of the night about what the hell was going on with the team. Oh, yeah, great chemistry there. Great chemistry with the Celtics. They're meeting late night to talk about why Marcus Smart is throwing things in the locker room after game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics culture is one of the most overrated things in this city. Oh, yeah, great culture here. Yeah, really great culture. Every year they have issues in the locker room. I don't understand. I heard the same stuff about Al Horford. Oh, great culture guy. Well, how come he was part of, like, the worst locker room in the NBA 2 years ago? I'll never understand that to begin with. But Gary Washburn, great reporter, puts out last night, the Celtics and Indiana Pacers are discussing a sign-and-trade. Remember, Gordon Hayward wanted to go to the Pacers. Shams Charania, him and Woj break all the NBA stories. He puts it out there that Gordon Hayward is fully focused on joining the Indiana Pacers. Okay, so he wanted to go there. But here was the issue, and this is what Gary Washburn pointed out in his tweet. The Celtics were asking for either TJ Warren or Victor Oladipo. The Pacers were only offering Miles Turner and Doug McDermott. So Danny wanted Turner and Oladipo, or Turner and TJ Warren. And the Pacers say, no, we're not doing that. We'll give you Doug McDermott and we'll give you Miles Turner, the guy you want and really the guy that you need. And Danny Ainge wanted more. And Danny Ainge wanted more than what the Pacers were willing to offer. And the Pacers said, no, we're not doing it. That's the holdup here. So I know what's going to happen over the next 24 hours. We all know what's going to happen. There is going to be a spin and there is going to be people defending Danny Ainge. That's exactly what's going to happen. I can guarantee it. It's already happening. If you're on Twitter, if you're on social media, you already see it. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, how is Gordon Hayward going to pass this up? Michael Jordan offered him this big contract. I don't know, because less than what, 15 hours ago, he was fully focused on going to the Indiana Pacers. That's how I know. The other thing is we have reporting that Danny Ainge was trying to essentially get everything he possibly could from the Indiana Pacers. That's the problem with Danny Ainge. It's like sport to him. The trade is like sport to him in and of itself. Why weren't Miles Turner and Doug McDermott good enough for you? And now we're going to have the spin. Well, Gordon Hayward a couple years ago in 2014, he signed an offer sheet with the Charlotte Hornets. And then Michael Jordan called him last night. And that convinced Gordon Hayward that he should go to Charlotte for all this money. Well, hold on. So Gordon Hayward's not a man? All of a sudden, some guy can just convince him in a second, hey, join the Charlotte Hornets? Yeah, what was Michael Jordan's pitch to Gordon? Hey, man, we got a great team. We got LaMelo. LeVar's going to be around. I don't know if you met LeVar, great guy. And then we got Terry Rozier, your old friend. You guys got along swimmingly. Remember, that was not a good situation. Remember, Terry Rozier was one of the young guys on the Celtics that was pissed off that Gordon Hayward was playing too much. And now Gordon Hayward is getting all this money to join Terry Rozier's new team. Oh, yeah, we got this Devontae Graham kid too, Gordon. We got him. You're not going to want to miss out on this opportunity. But Gordon Hayward probably said, at this point in time, I don't know when the Indiana thing's going to go down, if it's going to go down, so I'll just take all this money that's on the table from the Charlotte Hornets, and I'll go to Charlotte. I'm not going to wait around for Danny Ainge to play these dumb games. And this is the problem now. You fall behind, even now, when you don't have, obviously, the salary cap space you would have liked to have had if Gordon Hayward just leaves. Basically, you have a mid-level exception, which is less than $10 million per season. And we're talking about guys like Paul Millsap right now. But you wait around and guys go off the table. Guys are going off the table left and right. And Danny Ainge is the one that it cost the Celtics an opportunity to upgrade this roster. I don't know how anybody can defend Danny Ainge right now. There's no way to do it. You had a real deficiency on this team. You had a chance to improve it, but you asked for too much. See, this is my problem with Danny Ainge. He thinks all the time that you need to just embarrass the other team. The reality of the situation is now, there are not, and this is weird to say because it used to be this way, there are not as many dumb general managers in the NBA as there were even 5-6 years ago, right? Billy King's not running the Nets anymore. Okay, those guys don't exist. There's not a lot of terrible GMs anymore in the NBA. Now, we could argue and we could have a conversation about Mitch Kupchak and Michael Jordan running the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, obviously, that's a dumpster fire. They paid Terry Rozier. They paid Gordon Hayward. I don't know what the hell they're thinking. I mean, that is a horrible, horrible contract that they gave Gordon Hayward. So there are a few teams out there, but Indiana's not one of them. With Kevin Pritchard and Chad Buchanan, the general manager there, they're like, I'm not going to do this. What are you doing? You're asking for way too much. Like, at some point, if you're Indiana, you have to be thinking to yourself, when Danny Ainge is asking you for the world, for Gordon Hayward, you have to be thinking to yourself, hold on. We would love to have Gordon Hayward here. We think he can be better in our system because in Boston, he didn't get the opportunities, right? Because they had Jaylen Brown, they had Jason Tatum, they had Kemba Walker. We bring him here, maybe he's a better player, or at least we're banking on him being a better player. But is he worth us giving up two of our four best players? And that's when you just have to look yourself in the mirror and say, what the hell are we doing? It's great we could bring a hometown kid in here, but Danny Ainge has to come to the realization that we're not giving up that much value for Gordon Hayward. It's crazy to think that Danny Ainge was asking for two of the best four players on the Indiana Pacers. And here's the other thing I would point out. The guys that he were asking for, or the guys that he was asking for, I didn't want any part of. Victor Oladipo, hell no. Guy has 1 year remaining on his contract. Let's not dismiss the fact that he's not a good teammate. Okay, Victor Oladipo, by the way, did not look like the same player ever since he came back from the quad injury. And I understand that he has issues with the front office there in Indiana, and not really the front office, more so the medical staff there. But let me give you a story about Victor Oladipo, and let me ask you if you would be holding out hope that you could get Oladipo in the deal. Victor Oladipo came back from a quad injury last year and played before the season was halted due to COVID-19. He played. In fact, his last game was against the Celtics. He had like 29 points. He played well. He didn't want to go to the Orlando bubble. Now, if you were an injured player, okay, if you were injured, you would still get paid. That's why Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, those guys still got paid when they didn't go to the bubble because they were out with injuries. Victor Oladipo was not deemed to be injured because he wasn't hurt anymore. He didn't want to go to the bubble just because he didn't want to restart the season. He was worried about possibly getting injured again. So he wasn't going to go to the bubble. But then what happened? Okay, the NBA came down and said, well, Victor Oladipo's not getting his money if he doesn't go to the bubble. He doesn't have an injury right now. So if he doesn't go to the bubble, he doesn't get paid. And then what happens? Oh, Victor Oladipo shows up to the bubble. You think it's because he cared about his teammates? You think it's because he wanted to help his teammates? No, it's because he wanted the $3 million he wasn't going to get if he didn't show up to the bubble. I want no part of that guy whatsoever. Okay, not to mention the fact, TJ Warren, decent player. I mean, he averaged 31 points per game in the bubble. He was part of the all-bubble team, but he's a chucker. And when you look at TJ Warren, he's got 2 years remaining on his contract. Victor Oladipo, 1 year remaining on his contract. See, one of the issues that the Celtics had last year is the Celtics were in a position where they had too many chefs in the kitchen. They have way too many guys that take shots. That's the problem with this team. Part of it is Brad Stevens and his stupid offense, right? Where essentially, And I've made this comparison before. He's the Bernie Sanders of basketball coaches. That's what he is. Everybody gets a chance. Everybody take your shots, right? You had five guys for the Celtics last year in the postseason that shot more than 10 times a game. That's not how you win in the NBA. That's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. So the point being, you bring in Warren and you bring in Oladipo, they're going to want the ball. You think that those guys are going to come in? You think Oladipo or TJ Warren is going to come in here and say, yeah, you know what? I'll take a backseat to Jason Tatum. Yeah, I know it's his team. I'm going to take a backseat. No, Victor Oladipo is looking for a new contract. TJ Warren's looking for a new contract in a year and a half. You think those guys are willing to come in here and take a backseat? No. Doug McDermott, is he a great player? No. But I know this. He shoots north of 40% from three-point territory. He can come off the bench. He would have fit better with the ethos of the team. But Danny Ainge didn't want him because he wasn't considered to be like a former all-star like Victor Oladipo or like TJ Warren, who had an outstanding bubble, if you will. Bubble games. I don't even know what the hell we're calling those. But Danny Ainge wanted more. He wanted more than Indiana was willing to give up. And that's the issue here. See, what the Celtics need to do with this team is they have to realize, first of all, that you don't win in the NBA when a million guys get shots. How many years are we going to have to experience this with the Celtics and realize, hey, maybe that's adding to some of the cultural issues and the problems you have in the locker room? The same thing, it didn't just happen this year, because after the Eastern Conference Finals or during them, we all know what happened in the locker room. We have addressed this multiple times. The back and forth, the verbal argument, Marcus Smart throwing crap, right? That happened this year because of shots. 2 years ago, you had a horrible locker room because everybody thought they were the second best player after Kyrie Irving. You had Kyrie Irving, and then you had some nights Marcus Morris was taking the most shots. Some nights it was Jason Tatum. Some nights it was Jaylen Brown, and then Jaylen Brown got put to the bench because people thought he was shooting too much, right? There was just all these issues internally with the Celtics. And the way they play on the court and the fact that everybody's getting these opportunities, you know what that leads to? It leads to issues in terms of the culture of the team. And the Celtics were just looking to, Danny Ainge was looking to, because he was so interested in winning the trade. He was more interested in embarrassing the Indiana Pacers for what he was giving up or what he was going to get back in return for Gordon Hayward, that he forgot about the most important stuff, which is actually winning games on the basketball court and getting a center in here that can contribute. And bringing in a role guy like a Doug McDermott who can just be part of the puzzle, and everything should be orchestrated around your two great young players in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But instead, he got too caught up in his ego. He got too caught up on, I got to win the trade. I want to embarrass this team. I want to make them look bad. He got too caught up in that crap. And now where are the Celtics at? Where are you at right now, really? Where are the Celtics at right now? Well, the Nets are better than you. The Bucks are better than you. The Heat are better than you. We just saw it. He just embarrassed you, and you don't have anybody. You don't have anybody to cover Bam. They're better than you right now. Where are the Celtics on the hierarchy in the Eastern Conference? Heck, it took you seven games to dispose of the Toronto Raptors, who didn't have the reigning defending NBA Finals MVP in Kawhi Leonard. So the Celtics right now are in a position where they are not atop the Eastern Conference. They are not a threat to get out of the Eastern Conference right now. And the problem, and the most aggravating part about this whole situation to me, is the fact that you had a guy that was there. You had a guy that was there in Miles Turner that could have significantly upgraded this team, and all you had to do was get rid of Gordon Hayward. He wanted to go to Indiana. That's all it cost, was Gordon Hayward to get a legitimate big man in here. 6'11", 7'4", wingspan. 2 years ago, blocked nearly three shots per game. Last year, he's over two blocks per game. Shoots the three ball north of 36% for his career. 2 years ago, he's at 38%. And he doesn't need the basketball like some of these other guys that have been with this organization, right? It's not like Marcus Morris, where he's the black hole. He just gets the ball and he shoots. He sets screens for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. He can roll to the basket. He can pick and pop. He was just the perfect fit. It was right there for Danny Ainge. But he got too caught up in the competition of winning the trade. And now here the Celtics are. They had a real chance to increase their ceiling in the Eastern Conference, and now they just really hurt themselves by not pulling off this deal. And now we're talking about, oh, what if they can get Paul Millsap? Great. 36-year-old who sucked in the playoffs last year. Cannot wait for that guy. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. How much blame do you throw Danny Ainge's way? What do you think of the Celtics team right now? And one thing that goes underrated in this whole situation, I'll get to that next, and we'll get you a trending in just a second here.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, Trending Now is brought to you by T-Mobile. T-Mobile and WEEI want to help move small business forward. Enter your business for a chance to win a free advertising campaign. Go to WEEI.com/T-Mobile. Gordon Hayward is a Charlotte Hornet. Unbelievable. I still can't believe this. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports Hayward signing a four-year, $120 million deal with the Charlotte Hornets. Hayward averaged 17 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists a game last season. The Athletic is reporting the Celtics are showing strong interest in Nuggets big man Paul Millsap. Oh, great. Woj also reporting that Fred VanVleet will stay with the Raptors on a four-year, $85 million deal. The Athletic Sham Sharania reports Avery Bradley joining the Heat on a two-year, $11.6 million deal, so another good defender for the Heat. NFL Sunday will get underway tomorrow morning at 9 with Wiggy Fourier and Rich Keefe. The Pats visit the Texans on Sunday afternoon. Stephon Gilmore hinted on Friday that he would return after missing the last three games, and Gilmore posted a picture on his Instagram account with his road bag packed. Gilmore officially listed as questionable with that knee issue. Meanwhile, running back Sony Michel has been activated off IR. Michel has not played since the Week 4 win over the Raiders due to a quad injury. The Houston Chronicle reports Texans left tackle Laremy Tunsil is out with an illness. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
I've always said, I've talked to those guys all year long. And then as they get closer to these deadlines and these big decisions and everything else, I say, if you need me, let me know. I mean, you know, he knows us, he knows me, he knows this whole situation, and he weighs that against his other options. That's part of a player option. So that's not too dissimilar than anything we've been through in the past. And so we'll see again how it plays out. But those conversations are, you know, you spend so much time together that I think it's appropriate from my point of view to make yourself available if need be.
All right, that was Brad Stevens. And now the former Celtic, Gordon Hayward. $120, 4 years, $120 million from the Charlotte Hornets. I don't blame Gordon Hayward for wanting to leave. Heck, if I was Gordon Hayward, I would want to too. If I'm going to sacrifice, and I'm not telling you that he shouldn't be as low on the pecking order as he was. Jason Tatum's better than him. The reality is Jaylen Brown's better than him. Kemba Walker is better than him. He should be down in the pecking order in terms of being the fourth, fifth option on this team. Really the fifth option at times, because Marcus Smart thinks he's way better than he is. And that's a whole different show that we could do today. And if you're not competing for a championship, what's the damn point? The Celtics team wasn't good enough to win a championship if Gordon Hayward came back here. So am I going to sacrifice and be the fourth option on a team that's not good enough to win a title? Or do I want to just go get paid? I don't blame Gordon Hayward for doing that. And he probably wants to get back into a position where he actually has the ball a lot more, because think about that Charlotte team. Who else needs the ball on that team? Now, they got the rookie LaMelo Ball, who's going to get plenty of opportunities. Terry Rozier was not great for them last year. Devonte Graham was a surprising player. Gordon Hayward's going to get all he can eat in Charlotte. Now, he's going to be playing for a horrible basketball team that doesn't win much, but he got the money, and now he has an opportunity to have more chances to actually be like the lead guy on a team, or at least the second lead guy on the team, rather than being the fourth option on a team that's not good enough to win a title right now. So I totally have no issue with Gordon Hayward himself deciding, yeah, let me go to Charlotte. Why not? Get the money. The problem is you do realize that none of the contenders were calling about Gordon Hayward, because you can do a sign and trade with a lot of teams across the sport. None of the contenders were calling for him because they don't think he's that good. He's just not that good of a player anymore. He can't really beat guys off the dribble. He doesn't have that ability anymore. And the reality is he's going to find that out in Charlotte, but he's going to be doing it while he's making $30 million per season. But there is a reason when Klay Thompson goes down for the Golden State Warriors that they make a trade for Kelly Oubre, and they don't even call the Celtics about Gordon Hayward. They desperately needed a wing. They're not calling for Gordon Hayward. Steph Curry, he's got like one more, two more years in his prime, and they weren't calling about Gordon Hayward. You think about a team like Dallas, right, with Luka and Porzingis. Did they call about Gordon Hayward for a possible sign and trade? How about the Portland Trailblazers? They said, no, we'll go with Robert Covington. So all these teams that didn't have the cap space, they could have called about a possible sign and trade. None of the contenders interested in Gordon Hayward because, one, he's not reliable anymore. We all know he's not durable. And then secondly to all that, you look at the fact that he's just not great anymore. He's not that good of a player. We're talking about now, what, 2.5, 3 years removed from the leg injury? He's never going to be the same player that he once was from an athletic standpoint. I heard last year from his agent, Mark Bartelstein, he said on these airwaves at WEI that in the second year off the injury, he was going to be much better. Now, he had a way better season this year than last year, but he wasn't that same explosive athlete. You look at a guy like Paul George, and I know we can make fun of what Paul George did in the postseason last year, but Paul George 2 years ago was third in the MVP voting. Paul George was third in the Defensive Player of the Year voting 2 years ago. So Paul George has come all the way back from the leg injury and way quicker than Gordon Hayward's timeline. Gordon Hayward's never going to be the same player again. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to John, who's in Rhode Island. John, what's up, man?
Good evening. I totally agree with most of what you're talking about. I'd like to talk about the Celtics first and Danny Ainge and then go to the Patriots. So give me a little
time. Quick.
First of all, Danny Ainge pulled off a great deal years ago and fleeced Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay. So what did he do with all those picks other than the two that we got that are good? He kept getting guards. He's god crazy. Okay? And one of those picks, he couldn't have gotten a big man. Secondly, he lucked out with Isaiah Thomas, the young one. Right?
Yeah, that's a good trade, though, John. You got to give him credit for that. That's a good trade.
No. He came over. Yeah, but look what he did to him. Secondly.
What do you mean, John? Hold on. What do you mean, look what he did to him? When they traded for Isaiah Thomas from Phoenix, that was a good trade. Isaiah Thomas played really well. He was like fifth in the MVP voting 1 year. That was a good trade for the Celtics. Isaah Thomas was a good player for them, and they didn't have to give up much to get him. Yeah.
Of course he did, but he threw him to the dogs after.
Well, what did you, John, hold on, though. What did you want him to do with Isaiah Thomas? The guy, he knew he had a bum hip.
Okay.
What was he supposed to give him, a max contract?
But no, not at all. He could have taken him in, talked to him, and say, listen, you're not a max player. Whatever. If you want to leave, leave. But he brought
him. But he couldn't, John. He couldn't, John. Hold on. John, he couldn't.
Okay,
Isaiah had 1 year remaining on his contract.
I went on a tangent.
All right.
Right. But he had all those picks, and all he kept doing was picking guards. Every time the Celtics were good, not only did they have, even during the Bird era, right, they had a bench that was comparable. You could get all the great players you want and not have a bench, and you can't win, right? He blew this thing with that kid from Indiana.
Yep, I agree with that. Hey, John, I appreciate the phone. John, I appreciate the phone call, but you're going in a bunch of different directions here, so let me just address some of what you were saying. So if you look back to the trade with the Brooklyn Nets, you basically came out of that with an all-NBA player in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who was a borderline all-star this past season and a really good player. Okay, now the rest of it, yeah, you've kind of underachieved with the rest of it, but you did get the main piece. You did get the guy that you want to build your franchise around. But if you want to say what he did with the rest of the picks was underwhelming, I would agree with you on that. Now, in terms of Isaiah Thomas, that was a great trade at the time to bring him in here. He played at a very high level, and there was no reason to give him a max contract after that. There was no reason to give him any contract because you knew you had the information that he had a bum hip. You knew that about Isaiah Thomas. So it was worth taking a shot on Kyrie Irving. The problem was it just didn't work out. And that was one of the picks you put in that deal. Remember, it ends up being Colin Sexton. Now, I would hope that Danny Ainge would pick somebody other than Colin Sexton. That guy is a very selfish player. But nonetheless, you gave up the seventh pick in that draft for Kyrie Irving. It was worth it to take a shot on Kyrie, especially knowing that Isaiah was not going to be the same player after the hip injury. It was worth a shot. That didn't work out. So you can blame Danny Ainge for that. You can say the intel should have been better on the player, should have been better on Kyrie Irving, but I'm not going to kill Danny Ainge for not giving Isaiah Thomas an extension and the Kyrie trade originally. I'm not going to kill him for that. I at the time liked the deal, so I'm not going to be a complete hypocrite and say that was a dumb deal by Danny Ainge. I liked it at the time, and quite frankly, most of you liked it. Now, what we found out about Kyrie was not great once he played here. I mean, the guy had surgery for a deviated septum during game 7 of the Cavs-Celtics series. You couldn't wait a day or two for that. So yeah, we all learned that Kyrie was out of his damn mind, right? We all found that out, but it was worth a chance for Danny Ainge to do that. But this thing's on Danny Ainge. The fact that Miles Turner is not a Celtic, that's on Danny Ainge because he was asking for too much. He was so concerned about asking for too much. Let me ask you this. You think the Bad Boy Pistons, when they got Mark Aguirre for Adrian Dantley, Dantley is one of the great scorers in NBA history, averaged north of 30 points per game in like 4 different seasons. He wasn't meshing with Isaiah Thomas. He didn't fit in with the ethos of the team. They sent him to Dallas for Mark Aguirre. Mark Aguirre, a better fit with the Bad Boy Pistons, they win back-to-back championships. Sometimes you don't have to embarrass the other team in the trade. Sometimes it's fine to just get a player that fits with your team better, like Miles Turner fits better here than Gordon Hayward did. Yet Danny Ainge wanted everything the Pacers had. He wanted to embarrass the Pacers. That's the issue. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to James in Lexington. James, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to address your earlier question, how much blame does Ainge get for this? I think he gets 100% of the blame.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are going to be people defending him in the coming days, but...
Oh, yeah, James, it already started.
Yeah, I haven't seen much defense of Ainge, but I'm sure I will very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you have the Heat, who just embarrassed you in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you also have the 76ers and the Nets,
right,
easily improving all three of those teams. How are you going to, you know, obviously just let Hayward walk and not get a dime in return? You know, Cody Zeller, Paul Millsap, whoever we get, nowhere near Miles Turner. And I just think, you know, we end up as a 4 or 5 seed this year.
Yeah, and you know what, James? You know what the disappointing thing is, James? And to your point, you make a great point there. The most aggravating part is that you knew what your deficiency was. Yet Danny Ainge got so caught up in trying to fleece the Indiana Pacers that instead of realizing, oh, yeah, we need a big guy for Bam and for Joel Embiid and for when Giannis gets into the paint, instead of focusing on that, he was focused on how do I rip off the Nets, and it cost you getting a real quality big man that's only 24 that fits perfectly in the timeline with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and had 3 years remaining on his contract. So that's what pisses me off.
Absolutely. Me too.
Appreciate the call, man. Let's get to Jesse in Providence. Sorry. What's up, Jesse?
How you doing, man?
Good.
First time caller. I'm pretty much in complete agreement with you. I mean, how long have we had Turner on our radar? You know what I mean?
It seems like a year, right, Jesse?
This wasn't a new thing. We've been talking about Turner since last year.
Yeah.
And
And Jesse, you know what? You know what? The other thing is, Jesse, everybody keeps pointing out the fact that, well, maybe the Hornets just came in and they gave him that big offer and Hayward couldn't say no. Yeah, but Jesse, the other part of that is the Celtics had his deadline pushed back for 2 days. So, you know, during those 2 days, they're talking to the Indiana Pacers.
I think they've been talking for weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, like to attest to what you said, watching the playoffs, the thing that was screaming through the TV was, we are screwed if we do not get a big that's going to contain Bam. How long are we going to have to play Bam for? The next 5, 7 years? We have no way to stop him. He completely ate us up.
Yep.
He threw Tice on the bench every single game. And, I mean, even in the draft, you know, we passed on a few good big men towards the end of the first round. I think Otoro and Carey would have been nice to try to scoop up and have off the bench. But I think it's just a catastrophic blown trade. And even so, I would have loved to have McDermott off the bench. Like, I'm happy we picked up Naismith, but just McDermott, you know, like 10, 15 minutes a game, putting in a couple corner threes instead of semi shooting them.
Right.
Like I think we would have fleeced them and already Horton for yes. Turner and McDermott. Yes. That's already a fleece. So what is Danny trying to do?
I don't know.
I also agree. I don't see Oladipo or Warren in the Celtics rotation at all. I think that would have destroyed chemistry. And it's just, who's left now? I mean, Steven Adams is already scooped up.
Yep, he went to the Pelicans. There's nobody. I mean, Jesse, I appreciate the phone call. It's basically Paul Millsap. Appreciate the phone call, Jesse. It's basically Paul Millsap. That's the guy out there. Great. He's going to turn 36 in February. He wasn't that good for the Denver Nuggets last year. He underachieved since he signed that big contract with the Denver Nuggets. So that's what's out there. Instead of having an opportunity to land a guy like Miles Turner. And great point by him. And I said it. If you just look at Gordon Hayward for Miles Turner, and I ask you, which guy would you rather have in the Celtics right now? It's Miles Turner. Yet Danny Ainge kept pushing for more. He wanted more from the Indiana Pacers. You get Miles Turner in with this team, you have won the trade. You have won the trade, Danny Ainge, and he fits better with your team. Just like Mark Aguirre fit better than Adrian Dantley with the Bad Boy Pistons. You can go through NBA history. There are plenty of examples where it looked like a team, and this wouldn't even be on paper looking like you're losing. But let's just go with the hypothetical that Ainge thinks that they would have lost the deal on paper if he settled for McDermott and Turner for Hayward. Now, I disagree with that logic, but let's just say that's his thought, that Gordon Hayward is better than Miles Turner and Doug McDermott, which I vehemently disagree with. But let's just say, for the sake of this argument, that that's what Danny Ainge believes. Okay, well, on paper, the Detroit Pistons in the early 2000s, they lost the trade where they got Richard Hamilton for Jerry Stackhouse. Jerry Stackhouse was a guy that averaged 29 points per game with the Detroit Pistons. Problem was, ball dominant guy, not good enough to elevate you to a championship, right? What happened with the Pistons a couple of years later? Rip Hamilton fits with the team. He runs around like crazy. We all remember him from the 08 Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics. Really good player. He helps be part of the piece that brings them to a championship. Lost the trade on paper. What's the big deal? You won a championship a couple of years later. You think about Steph Curry, right? His early years with the Warriors didn't get off to the greatest start. And then you had this conundrum. You had Monta Ellis and Steph Curry in the same backcourt. The problem was Ellis took too many damn shots. Ellis was a decent player, now completely inefficient, but the Warriors said, okay, if Steph Curry's going to grow as a player, if we are going to unlock Steph Curry and get the best out of Steph Curry, we got to get rid of Ellis. So they traded Ellis to Milwaukee for Bogut. At the time, you're giving up a guy that has scored in the mid-20s in terms of his NBA career in points per game for Andrew Bogut. Doesn't look like you win that trade whatsoever if you're the Golden State Warriors. But guess what? It freed up Curry. The ethos of the team was better. The way they played was better. They end up a couple of years later going to a dynasty. Now, I'm not saying any of these examples are the same with the Celtics, like you win a championship because of this, but it just illustrates the fact that you don't always have to destroy the other team on paper. Sometimes you may look like, all right, we didn't get the best player in the deal, but you can still win the trade that way. And what's more important to me is putting the best Celtics team on the court. It's not about embarrassing a different organization, and I feel like Danny Ainge, his priorities are screwed up. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 7 tonight. If you want to weigh in on what happened here with the Celtics and Danny Ainge, how much blame do you put on Danny Ainge? What do you think of Hayward leaving the team? I personally don't feel like it's a loss. I'll tell you why I don't think that Hayward being in Charlotte is going to hurt the Celtics whatsoever. I'll get into that in just a little bit right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, well, the good news for the Celtics is they still have Jason Tatum. And Mark Stein yesterday put out on Twitter, quote, Boston's Jason Tatum and Utah's Donovan Mitchell are locks from the 2017 rookie class to get max extensions. So that's the good news for the Celtics. Eventually, Jason Tatum is going to get his max contract. Don't worry about that. None of the guys pass up on the first one besides, like, Kristaps Porzingis with the Knicks and James Dolan, arguably the worst owner in the NBA. So he's going to sign that contract. But now you're on the clock if you're the Celtics, because we've seen with some of these other star players that signed their first max contract, eventually they want to leave if you're not making them happy and putting the right players around them. Paul George is a guy that went to the Eastern Conference Finals in back-to-back seasons with the Indiana Pacers. He eventually wanted out of Indiana. He ends up getting a trade to Oklahoma City. We all know the story with Anthony Davis, where he essentially quit on his team 2 years ago, and he asked for a trade at the deadline to the Lakers, and they did not give it to him at the time. But eventually, he got to the Lakers, and that was after he got a max contract from the New Orleans Pelicans. So once you sign Jason Tatum to that extension, you are on the clock, and you got to put the best team around Jason Tatum to take shots at getting to an NBA Finals. You've been close, but not nearly close enough. The Heat were the better team than you last year. And this particular season, you had a chance to really help Jason Tatum and help the young core of this team, a guy like Jaylen Brown as well, to elevate the ceiling with a center that can block shots and body up with Bam Adebayo and Joel Embiid. And you didn't do it if you were Danny Ainge. Now, the one thing I will say about the loss of Gordon Hayward and why I do believe in some sense it's addition by subtraction, getting him out of the equation. Now, it sucks that something was there for you and you didn't make a deal. That's the thing where Danny Ainge deserves all the blame. And I've done this for 45 minutes. There is no excuse for Danny Ainge not getting Miles Turner when Turner and McDermott were on the table, according to Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. So the fact that that was there, that offer was there, you didn't make it, there's no excuse. But just in terms of losing Gordon Hayward, there was way too much redundancy on this roster. You don't win when you have a million guys taking shots in the NBA. In fact, if you look at the Lakers last year, they had two guys that took more than 10 shots per game. That was one guy named LeBron and another guy named Anthony Davis. Everybody else was under 10 field goal attempts per game. You look at the Celtics, they had five guys taking at least 10 shots a game. That's too many. You go through the recent history of NBA champions, the Raptors had three. Kawhi Leonard, Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry. You look at the Warriors, it was Durant, Curry, and Klay Thompson. Draymond Green didn't even take 10 shots per game. Marcus Smart did last year for the Celtics in the postseason, right? LeBron in Cleveland, if it was LeBron, it was Kyrie, and Kevin Love was about 12 shots per game. That's how you win in the NBA. You have a clear pecking order. You have a clear hierarchy. You have too much wings and guards that need the ball in their hands. What you need is shooting. That's why I really like the Nesmith pick in the draft. I really like that pick. This guy was considered to be the best shooter in the draft. Jay Billis said it on draft night, and multiple other draft aficionados said the same thing. So I like that pick. It opens up more of the floor for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown if he can develop into a sharp shooter, into a sniper, so to speak. That makes sense. Another thing that makes sense is a big man that doesn't need a whole lot of shots like Miles Turner, right? So getting Gordon Hayward out of the equation, you know what it does? It puts more emphasis on Jason Tatum with the ball and with Jaylen Brown with the ball. Because what we know about Brad Stevens, he's not going to change, right? He is the Bernie Sanders of coaching, where he thinks everybody gets the everybody should get an opportunity to have the ball in their hands, right? That's not how you win in the NBA, yet Brad Stevens still has not come to the rational conclusion that they have too many guys with the ball in their hands. Going back to 2 years ago, you had locker room issues. You had locker room issues this year, and you weren't getting the results on the court. So Brad Stevens still hasn't come to the conclusion that maybe what you're doing is wrong. Maybe what you're doing there is wrong. So getting Gordon Hayward out of the equation, just by him not being here, Brad doesn't have another ball handler on the team that needs the ball. So it's addition by subtraction in that sense. Now, that does not dismiss the ineptitude displayed by Danny Ainge in these negotiations with the Indiana Pacers. But getting Gordon Hayward out of the building, out of the city, is not the biggest loss in the world. In fact, I don't think it's a loss whatsoever. The guy's completely overrated. Everybody brings up his numbers last year. Yeah, he's doing it against garbage defenders because everybody's concerned about Jaylen and Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker.
Yeah, and Brian, I have a question. Why, if you're the Hornets, do you want to sign Hayward to that kind of a deal over Kemba Walker? It doesn't make sense to me at all because, I mean, they're both guards that, I mean, like you said, they're both a little bit overrated, but Hayward, by far, would be the worse option in my eyes than Kemba Walker.
That's a good question. Now, Kemba was in a position where he could have got the Supermax, and maybe they were smarter than the Celtics and realized, okay, that left knee that he's had three surgeries on.
But
is a
Hayward,
time
same
bomb.
Problem.
Yeah, you're right. Hayward, same problem in terms of the health. So I don't know why anyone would give Hayward this money. And that's why you look at it. It's a Charlotte Hornets franchise. It's terrible, right? I mean, they're a horrible franchise. What have they ever won? They've won nothing in terms of their existence in the NBA. In fact, the only thing they did have is they had a good team in the 90s with Muggsy Bogues and Alonzo Mourning and Del Curry. And they aggravated Alonzo Mourning to the point that he wanted out. So I don't know what Gordon Hayward does. But I mean, I guess you just look at it. They signed Terry Rozier last year to a big contract, right? So I mean, I guess we should expect this from the Hornets. That is a terrible contract. There's a reason he's with Charlotte and not with a good team, because none of the good teams thought that Gordon Hayward put him over the top. All right, let's get to Tony, who's in Revere tonight. What's up, Tony?
Yeah, hi. Hi. I agree with all your comments, but I just want to say this couldn't have been a worse week for Danny Ainge. A lot of people aren't talking about it, but the draft, I think, was very inadequate. They drafted a guy, yeah, he's a sharpshooter, but he broke his foot. In basketball, you need your feet. And I don't see him being ready to be able to understand and be able to deal with the rigors of the NBA. You're talking about a guy with a broken foot, which if you read all the general managers in the league, all the general managers in the league said they shied away from Nesmith because he had a broken foot. Danny Ainge is the smartest guy in the room. He said, no, the broken foot's not a problem. So why
Tony, hold on.
All the general managers say it is a problem.
Tony, I didn't have an issue with the Nesmith pick. He's considered to be the best shooter in the draft.
His X-rays? How can you not have an issue? Did you look at his X-rays of his leg?
No, I didn't look at his X-rays, but I'm sure the Celtics did. And there was a lot of people out there reporting that the foot was already fine, that he has no issues with the foot anymore. So I didn't have an issue with that.
Playing against what? A chair? Doing drills against a chair, a couple of chairs in a gym? I mean, come on. This is the NBA. Okay,
Tony,
all the other general managers shied away from him. All the other general managers that want nothing
Tony,
to do with this
Tony,
guy.
You realize, Tony, what do you mean all the other general managers in the NBA stayed away from him? He went 14th.
That's right.
He went 14th.
Yeah, well,
you have 16
guys,
picks after
all,
him. Why couldn't they just think that those guys were better players than Nesmith? What are you talking about? Like, it's not like he went 58th in the draft. He went 14th in the draft. It's not like he went low in the draft.
Didn't take him, all I'm saying is, if the Celtics didn't take him, where would he have gone in the draft, you think? Because I'm reading, he wouldn't even have been in the first round. Nobody wanted any part of him.
Yeah, I don't know what you're reading, Tony. He would have gone in the first. Tony, look, I appreciate the phone call, but he would have gone in the first round. I don't understand what the hell you're talking about. Now, to your point about the draft, I hated the Peyton Pritchard pick. That pick made no sense to me whatsoever. I like the Nesmith pick. This team needs shooting. Let me remind you, what happened to the Celtics in the postseason last year? Other than the fact that they couldn't cover Bam, they couldn't play offensive basketball against zone. You need zone busters, which are shooters, right? When Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are driving to the lane, or Kemba Walker, they're kicking, want Daniel Tice taking threes. Getting sharp shooters in here, it's important for this team going forward. So I had no issue with that pick. And by the way, everything I've read in terms of the injury for Nesmith, everybody says he's going to be fine. There's no issues with the foot going forward. Now, the other thing I would mention, though, is the Peyton Pritchard pick. Oh, my God, I hated it. 4-year college guy, which usually means you're not that good. He had a jump from 13 points a game to 20 points a game his senior year. Yeah, because he's way older than everybody else, right? His body's more mature. There's no upside there. I wanted the kid Tyrell Terry out of Stanford, who was a freshman, that is a sharp shooter as well. I just don't see the upside. And I feel like Danny Ainge drafted for need there. He said, all right, we're not going to bring back Brad Wanamaker. We need a backup point guard. Let's go get Peyton Pritchard. 6'2 with a 6'4 wingspan. He's going to have issues defensively, and I know he's a gutsy defender and all this. I've watched him play a bunch at Oregon. I mean, he's going to play hard. He's not a bad player. It's not a good pick for the Celtics based on the value of where you selected him. You don't draft a backup point guard with the 26th selection. That's not a good pick. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Brad in Rhode Island. Brad, what's up, man?
Hey, Brian. I'm good, man. How are you?
Good.
I think we're glossing over a couple of issues here that have something to do with this deal.
Okay.
First of all, just because Turner and whoever was on the table doesn't mean that Indiana was willing to give Hayward the kind of contract that he wanted, right? It's a player option. If he's not getting the money, he thinks he can get more money elsewhere, he's not going to do that just because he wants to go to Indiana or Indianapolis, where he's from.
Okay, Brad, I agree with you.
He needs to get money because...
Brad, okay. That's a possibility, right, that happened. And if that happens, 2 days from now, we found out that Indiana was lowballing him and it was only offering him like a 3-year deal worth $60 million or something. Like, the money was just so much different between the Hornets and the Pacers. I'll have that conversation. Yeah. But I also would say that at the time, we weren't hearing much about Charlotte. He was all in and going to Indiana. He was fully focused. That's the reporting from NBA insider Sham Sharania. And we know that that offer was on the table in terms of Miles Turner and Doug McDermott. So if you pulled the trigger on the deal quicker, you could have gotten it done.
Yeah, if Indiana was giving him money, that, you know, he's got to get his money. He's going to get hurt again.
That's a good point.
You know,
he's going to get hurt.
You just got done a few minutes ago ripping him, saying he's not good anymore. He knows he needs money now. You know, he can't wait and hope that he gets better.
Brad, if it turns out, Brad, hold on. If it turns out that the Indiana Pacers were just offering him so much less than the Charlotte Hornets, okay, I'll eat crow on that on Monday or Tuesday or someday next week. But at this particular point in time, we know that the player wanted to go to a place in Indiana where he had just bought a new home, where he's from. We know there was an offer on the table, and we know Danny Ainge didn't pull the trigger. That's all I can say up until this particular point in time, and that's the thing that irritates me. And it would feel like if you were willing to give up Miles Turner, a young, good big man for Gordon Hayward, you were going to be willing to pay the player. That's the evidence we have right now.
Okay, here's the second part of the Miles Turner. I'm missing the obsession with Miles Turner. Giannis kills Miles Turner. He puts up triple doubles. Bam kills Miles Turner. You know how many games the Pacers won against the Bucks and Heat last year? Zero. The Celtics are already in the top of the league in defense, rebounding, and block shots. I'm not saying Miles Turner isn't good, but I'm just saying that he's not the solution to all the problems.
So who is then, Brad? Who is? Who is? Brad, who is?
They need bench depth and three-point shooting. You know who I'd love to see? If the Rockets end up blowing that thing up, I'd love to see Eric Gordon on this team. I don't know what his contract situation is, but they need depth and they need shooting.
They're at the bottom of the league
in shooting and three-point shooting. And they go for huge stretches without being able to score.
The only reason
they stay in games is because of their defense.
Brad, look, I would also point out that they got killed by big men in the postseason. If Joel Embiid had his running mate Ben Simmons, that's a totally different series, because let's not dismiss the fact that Ben Simmons is the best perimeter, one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA, who they could have put on Jason Tatum, okay? And Joel Embiid killed him. He had 30 points per game. Giannis 2 years ago killed him. And then you look at this particular series against Bam Adebayo, they killed him. Now, I understand you can give me regular season numbers, Miles Turner against this team and that team. All I know is this. He's 6'11 with a 7'4 wingspan. He is a much better protector of the rim and a much better defender than anybody you have now on the roster. And that gaping hole, this was one way to fix it. Now you still have a gaping hole in the middle, and you're not going to be able to stop quality big guys in the NBA. Therefore, you're not going to be able to get to where you were last year.
You can't stop those guys anyway. You're not going to stop Giannis. Who thinks they're going to stop Giannis? I mean, unless you're getting Anthony
Miami
Davis
did. Toronto did.
Anthony Towns.
Miami did and Toronto did. And by the way, Towns is a garbage defender, so that's a horrible example.
Well, I'm just saying, you're not leapfrogging those guys unless you get a more dominant guy. I think the offense is a more pressing issue, to be honest with you. Again, it's not against Miles Turner. I'm not saying Miles Turner isn't, you know, a good player and wouldn't help. I'm just saying there's more pressing needs.
No, that's where you're wrong, Brad. You're wrong. There's not more pressing needs than a big guy that can defend the paint. I appreciate the phone call, man, but that's where you're wrong. Does this team need shooting? Yeah, sure. They added Nesmith in the draft. Hopefully he helps out. I would love them to add another shooter. Yeah, they definitely need shooting. Their main problem offensively is the coach. That's their main problem offensively, the coach. The Bernie Sanders of NBA coaches that thinks everybody should get the same amount of shots. That's the issue with the team in terms of the offense. They have the playmakers with Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They're just not built perfectly with the rest of this team. Everything should be catered around those guys making plays. The problem is Gordon Hayward comes back from the injury. He's getting the ball. Marcus Smart is chucking up shots. You realize this team was 2-5 in the postseason when Smart shot more than 13 times? They were 8-2 when he shot less than 13 times, which is pretty damn good. All you got to do is make a pecking order and a hierarchy. I'm with you on adding shooting. I love it. But Eric Gordon's not more important for this team right now than Miles Turner is. Bottom line, Miles Turner was in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation a couple of years ago. Averaged 2.7 blocks per game. Dude is a legitimate defender at the rim, and he's a much better option than anybody you have on this roster to defend those guys in the postseason. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 7. If you want to weigh in on the Gordon Hayward situation, what does this mean for the Celtics going forward? Are they no longer a contender in the Eastern Conference? Because I don't think they are. I'll tell you why in just a little bit here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.